From Erie to Gettysburg, Bloomsburg to Jeanette, this is Lincoln Radio Journal. On this edition, the COVID-19 pandemic has made the trucking industry even more essential. But ever-increasing turnpike tolls and proposed increased bridge tolls are impacting the industry and adding to the cost of delivering goods. David Taylor is joined by Rebecca Euler and Matt Briette for a Capital Watch roundtable discussion. And New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is under fire for deliberately underreporting nursing home deaths from COVID-19. In Pennsylvania, more than half of deaths from the disease have occurred in nursing homes. I'll have a town hall commentary on holding Governor Tom Wolf accountable. I'm Loman Henry, and welcome to Lincoln Radio Journal. We'll get to our Capital Watch crew in just a couple of minutes, but first, news headlines from patownhall.com. State Senator John Blake, who has represented a northeastern Pennsylvania state Senate seat for 10 years, announced this week that he will be resigning to take a job in the office of Congressman Matt Cartwright. Blake's seat, which includes parts of Luzerne, Lackawanna, and Monroe counties, will be filled by a special election, which has not yet been scheduled. Blake is a Democrat, and the district leans Democrat, but could be a pickup opportunity for Republicans who currently control the Senate chamber 28-20. Another seat, encompassing Lebanon and parts of Dauphin and York counties, will be filled in a special election this May, following the death of State Senator David Arnold last month. The race for an open seat on the Pennsylvania Supreme Court has begun to take shape. State Republicans have endorsed Commonwealth Court Judge Kevin Brobson for the seat, while Democrats have endorsed Superior Court Judge Maria McLaughlin. It is likely both will face contested primaries to determine who will face off this November for a seat on the bench. Voters statewide also will be electing two Commonwealth and one Superior Court judge this year. The first official entrant in the 2022 race for Lieutenant Governor is State Representative Brian Sims of Philadelphia, who announced he will be seeking the Democratic nomination. Sims made national headlines a couple of years ago after video surfaced of him verbally harassing two teenage girls who are praying outside of a Philadelphia abortion clinic. Voters next year will be electing a new U.S. Senator, Governor, and Lieutenant Governor. Incumbent Senator Pat Toomey has announced he will not be seeking re-election. Governor Tom Wolf is term limited and cannot seek re-election. And Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman is now running for the open U.S. Senate seat. Read about all things Pennsylvania at patownhall.com. Governor Tom Wolf has proposed raising a number of taxes, including hiking tolls on state bridges. The bridges are essential to the movement of goods into the Commonwealth. Here to discuss the impact of the governor's proposals is our Capital Watch crew, David Taylor from the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association, Matt Briette from Commonwealth Partners Chamber of Entrepreneurs, and Rebecca Euler, who has a new job. David?
And welcome once again to Capital Watch, where we keep an eye on what's happening under the Capitol Dome in Harrisburg for you. I'm your host, David Taylor, President and CEO of the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association. With me in the studio, my main man, Matt Briette, CEO of Commonwealth Partners Chamber of Entrepreneurs. Matt, great to be with you.
Hey, good to be with you, David.
And we have on the program a special guest, the new president and CEO of the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association, Rebecca Euler.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Rebecca.
Congratulations to you on your new leadership
Thank
role.
Thank you. It's great to be back wearing a different hat.
So, yeah. Of
a
course.
A trucking hat.
Yes.
Exactly right. Trucker hat.
That's right.
Rebecca, lay it all out. Tell us about the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association.
Well, the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association is the voice of the trucking industry in Pennsylvania. It represents trucking companies and interested individuals in the trucking industry in Pennsylvania, which, as you know, is a huge industry in Pennsylvania, critical to the state's economy, essential to supply chains, manufacturing businesses, and all of the state's economy that relies on transport and shipping. So we focus on key issues that affect the trucking industry education and awareness programs, safety and growth of the industry generally. And we partner with enforcement agencies on safety initiatives. So it's pretty exciting. I'm really excited to be there.
Do we call you when we have potholes in the roads then? Or is that another number?
I'll transfer you right to PennDOT in that case. Yeah.
Well, but, and that's an interesting, I mean, because Pennsylvania, I mean, we have, you're probably going to know this, you know, off the top of your head, of how many roads and highways, and I mean, our infrastructure is massive in Pennsylvania because, I mean, you can pretty much get, you know, from anywhere, right here in Harrisburg where we're recording, to all of the major population centers, and that's why Pennsylvania's trucking industry is huge.
Yeah, we're the Keystone State, and also Pennsylvania, I have learned, is unusual in that there are no county roads, that all roads are state roads, and that's why PennDOT and its mandate is so enormous.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you, and I'm still learning the ropes, obviously, at PMTA, but I can tell you that there are about 32,000 trucking companies in Pennsylvania, which probably is, you know, partly because we are so centrally located here, and we're sort of a thoroughfare here for the northeastern states. Really critical to, like I said, to the state's economy. So about 310,000 trucking jobs, one out of 17 jobs in the state is trucking related. I think that's a testament to how big the industry is in Pennsylvania and how important it is to the economy.
And well, I think that whole logistics dynamic, I don't think people really appreciate the degree to which the trucking you know, makes our modern life possible. Like every single thing, like for the listeners, every single article of every item that's around you, if you bought it at a store, it was transported on a truck.
Right. That's exactly true. I mean, whether you're ordering something that's being shipped directly to you, or you're going to your local business and buying products that have been transported by truck. In fact, I just learned that 94% of manufactured tonnage that's transported in the state actually is transported in trucks.
Wow!
So we know it's a huge part of the economy, and people depend on it. And especially, I mean, thinking back over the past year of the pandemic, we could not have gotten through this pandemic without trucks on the road and being there for us, and now shipping the vaccines, actually.
Yeah, so. I mean, when you think about the importance of connecting consumers with the producers, you know, trucking has to be one of the top issues up there, which then is also, you know, what are those policy issues, you know, of most interest to the trucking industry? I mean, it has to be our, you know, our infrastructure, our roads, highways, bridges. And of course, Pennsylvania being a pretty high tax state, if I recall correctly.
Highest gas tax in the
country. Highest gas tax, that which, of course, hits truckers quite extensively. And then, of course, maybe it's good you've come now rather than, you know, 10 years ago or 15 years ago. We were talking about, you know, tolling I-80, which I know truckers were up in arms over. But, you know, in addition to kind of tax issues, how we fund our roads and things like that, what are the things that are tops of the issues to truckers in Pennsylvania?
Well, just following up on what you said about taxes, another thing I just learned is that at a ranking of you know, states on annual state highway user taxes for a typical five axle you know, truck, is we are number three in the country for the cost of running a truck.
So third highest in the country.
Third highest in the country, yeah. So that's to your point about taxes. So obviously the taxes and the economic welfare generally of the state and how it supports its businesses are a really high priority to the trucking industry. But it's funny, and getting to know some of the issues that are important to them, I see some familiar items that sort of, you know, we've talked about many times here, we all have in common. I know they have an issue with overburdensome regulations and executive overreach, which we talk about frequently.
Yes.
So that is a common issue to many businesses in the state, including the trucking industry. Lawsuit abuse is a major issue for the trucking industry. Workforce, we've talked about that a lot here too. Workforce,
yep.
Recruiting drivers is a huge issue that they're dealing with right now.
This is where you can draw upon your experience with NFIB. IB.
Yeah, absolutely. I know, and I'm going to come back to sort of executive overreach because it's been a theme that we talk about here lately a lot. But it's one thing that, you know, we talked about, and one thing that I worked on NFIB frequently is the governor, you know, going out and doing something without talking to the people who are actually impacted by it. So that that's a recurring theme and a theme that's come up, you know, as I'm adjusting to my new job. And the latest thing, because we're right in the middle of winter, is the winter weather road restrictions that the governor, the governor's administration, PennDOT, Pima, state police put out, and the road restrictions that that have come out with sometimes very little notice. I know last weekend we had road restrictions where empty trucks were not allowed on the highways, and most of the state, a lot of the state, got no weather. So essentially, they shut down the industry, which, as we talked about, affects other industries in the state as well. Shut down the industry when there was essentially no safety issue at all.
And of course, that your member employers had to, you know, eat all those costs, mm-hmm. And again, it fouls up schedules and did like
sure.
this. You know, and the listeners have heard me say this before, but I'm going to say it again. You know, the public good that comes from regulation is compliance.
Yeah.
Like the compliance, when people behave according to the regs the way that you want them to, that's the good that comes through regulation. This is why this needs to be a cooperative process between the regulators and the regulated.
Right.
And when you just start like pushing rules on people without their input, without asking them, hey, how would this work in the real world mm-hmm. if we did this to you? This is where you get these kinds of complications.
Yeah, and one of the things that they clearly didn't think of with these road restrictions is that we had truck drivers who were stranded and could not travel with their empty trailers and had no food, water, or restrooms
because they
were stranded after making a delivery and could not get back. So that's something that clearly is an issue, but had they talked to the industry about it, they would have understood that's a problem.
Yeah. You're listening to Capital Watch. I'm David Taylor from Pennsylvania Manufacturers with Matt Briette from Commonwealth Partners and our honored guest, Rebecca Euler, the new president and CEO of the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association.
Another area where I think we can talk about executive overreach, which is affecting the trucking industry, is the bridge tolling issue.
Okay.
So the public-private partnership board at PennDOT, which was set up a few years ago to essentially help propose public-private partnerships that might save the state money.
Right, to bring in more private investment to help with rebuilding or expanding public infrastructure.
Right, in a fiscally responsible way, I think. They have recommended and voted to institute bridge tolling on interstates. So a truck or any vehicle crossing a bridge would have to pay a toll to do that. This is something that the trucking industry is absolutely opposed to. It would increase costs substantially, especially for trucks. And we believe that, you know, like anything else, when you talk about essentially it's a tax.
Right.
When you talk about any sort of increase in costs and taxes on an industry like this, it really should go through the legislature. It should be a public process that's debated in front of the legislature. And it's a negotiation that should happen to determine whether or not that's the appropriate public policy. So that, again, is something that's not happened in this case. PMTA, as far as I'm aware, wasn't contacted as a stakeholder in it. So this is, again, a theme that we've seen with REGI, the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, and other initiatives of the Wolf administration that just didn't take the time to talk to the affected parties and went full steam ahead.
Well, this problem that you're describing, of course, is basically saying we just need more money to
right.
fix problems because they refuse to address other issues in transportation. I mean, some of the examples that I think about is in mass transit, mm-hmm. Pennsylvania drivers subsidize mass transit to an astronomical level. And instead of demanding efficiencies out of our subway systems in Philadelphia and in Pittsburgh, and busing systems that sometimes hauling one person, you know, all around the city, instead of demanding reforms there that would reduce the massive subsidies needed, we keep saying, well, let's just put it on the drivers. Well, I mean, our turnpike tolls go up every single year. And then that when they say, hey, well, let's toll the bridges when we already have, you know, high gas taxes in Pennsylvania. This is a refusal to address some of the underlying problems in transportation. And frankly, an unwillingness to take on some of the special interests that have their little piece of the pie and just say, well, stick it to the drivers, stick it to the truckers. That's a real problem of, you know, failed policy solving.
Yeah. And the other big issue, of course, with the transportation funding is that the, you know, one of the good things is that even though that tax is really high, because it goes into the motor vehicle license fund and that fund can only be used for transportation, at least it's earmarked, at least it's restricted. The problem is that starting some years ago, that funding for the majority of operations from the Pennsylvania State Police was taken – that funding responsibility was placed from that funding source, which of course made more room in the general fund to spend on other stuff. And so you have this – what I would say is a misallocation that – I mean, yes, the PSP needs to be supported absolutely, and probably some portion of motor vehicle license funding is appropriate. The big chunk that's taken out of that funding stream now, it's just those dollars were meant for public infrastructure, and it's like I said, it's a misallocation. But again, like Matt, like you were saying, it would take political will and spending discipline and to prioritize moving that to a more appropriate funding source, which is why it hasn't happened.
Yeah, and it's always easier, oh, let's just raise a fee on a bridge or something, you know, rather than so that the easy route is unfortunately the most harmful route for the taxpayers, fee payers, and the people using our infrastructure.
How would they even impose that tax?
Well, that's another issue is they actually would have to build toll booths. So and add a new sort of program, a new funding, you know, program to PennDOT.
Wait, more government?
Exactly. We'd have more. Yeah, exactly. That's
wonderful.
That's the point. So creating more government, which in the long term creates more cost and more expense that has to be maintained. So Matt hit the nail on the head. I think there has to be like a more holistic look at, you know, and like Dave said, right sizing and reallocating where this funding comes from and where it goes.
So what are some of the challenges and opportunities that you're excited about with your association?
I'm excited by the role that the trucking industry plays in the Pennsylvania economy and how much they have to contribute. And all of the connections between it and all the other, you know, parts of the Pennsylvania economy. And we talked about manufacturing and how essential trucking is to manufacturing. So there's so much room to sort of grow in outreach and influence for the trucking industry, I think. So I really look forward to working on that because I think the case needs to be made of how essential the industry is to the economy and what a big part we play
and
in
it's one of those
the
things,
success.
It's one of those things where it's invisible. You
right.
know, people don't think about it. And yet, if we didn't have all of this work being done, all of the makers of the trucks and the people who service and care for the trucks and the truckers themselves, you know, the stuff wouldn't get from where it's made to the people who benefit from it.
Well, and I think when you shared at the beginning, what, 32,000 or so companies with 310,000 employees. I mean, I if you divide those numbers, you're close to like 8 or 9 employees in a company. So these are like our small businesses, right? I mean, I suppose you've got some large ones, but having 32,000 small businesses generally in Pennsylvania, those are good things. So I think the trucking industry is one that we should be supportive of and foster a better environment for, well, because we all benefit, right?
Of course.
I mean, it's we've got good roads. I like that. I prefer that to potholes. So I'm not going to call you, Rebecca, when I run into a pothole. I've got that cleared up.
And
it's PMTA.
We're so happy for you. So proud of you with this new leadership role. And we're just especially grateful that you're going to stick with us and be part of our radio team so that we can keep this conversation going on Capitol Watch. So, you know, we'll be focusing on other stuff in the coming weeks and months, the budget process and whatever other, you know,
political shenanigans.
Shenanigans. Yes, yes. I was grasping for a word, and that really was where I needed to go on that.
I got you, Dave. Got you covered.
Was shenanigans. But it's Tom Wolf won't be there forever. You know, it's 23 months and counting, and that
Who's counting?
I am, as the listeners know well. And, you know, and again, hopefully we can minimize the damage from his imperious, command and control type model. And that, you know, again, that we can pave the way that there will be a new governor and there's going to be a conversation to be had with the various, you know, candidates who put themselves forward and the platforms that they run on. And, again, how can we move Pennsylvania into a position where we're a national leader? Like, it's not good enough that, you know, among the 50 states that when we're not in the bottom 10, we're in the bottom 20. It's like, no, that's not acceptable. We need Pennsylvania to be competitive. We need to be a high-performing state. And that's why we've got to benchmark ourselves against those states. But anyway, that's a conversation that will continue. We're running out of time here. So, Matt, where can the listeners go to learn more about you and Commonwealth Partners and the things that you're doing?
Yes, go to thecommonwealthpartners.com. And I'd encourage folks, if you want to stay attuned to what's going on in the state, we have a news aggregator digest for you. You can sign up right there at thecommonwealthpartners.com.
Outstanding. Thanks. And Rebecca, where can people now find you?
Now I am at pmta.org.
Outstanding. Well, as ever, you can find me online at pamanufacturers.org and on the Pennsylvania Cable Network on Sunday mornings at 8:30 with PMA Perspective. So from Matt and Rebecca and me, thanks very much for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Capitol Watch. And now, a town hall commentary from Loman Henry.
Thank you, David. It appears New York Governor Andrew Cuomo deserved that Emmy Award after all. Not for his performance at news conferences during the COVID-19 pandemic, but for lying effectively about the number of nursing home deaths triggered by his failed policies. The bombshell revelation that the Cuomo administration had underreported the number of COVID-19-related deaths in New York nursing homes by 50% and subsequent admission by a key staffer that the fudging of the figures was intentional has triggered a political firestorm in the Empire State. Adding fuel to the fire, the Associated Press reported that records showed 9,056 COVID-positive patients were released into nursing homes last spring at the direction of the Cuomo administration. That number is more than 40% higher than had been previously reported by the state's health department. It is important to note these revelations are not an exercise in partisan politics. New York Attorney General Letitia James, a Democrat, like Cuomo, has been instrumental in bringing the truth to light. The Cuomo administration's disastrous directive, sending COVID-19 positive patients back into nursing homes, which housed those most vulnerable to the disease, was copied by a number of other states, including Pennsylvania, where Governor Tom Wolf and former State Health Secretary Dr. Rachel Levine had stoutly defended the policy. COVID-19-related deaths in Pennsylvania nursing homes and long-term facilities topped 12,000 in mid-February. That is over 50% of the 23,136 deaths from COVID-19 during that time frame. Clearly, the policy has been as deadly in Pennsylvania as it has been in New York. The question now is, can we believe statistics released by Pennsylvania's Department of Health, or has there been a New York-style effort to keep the real extent of the tragedy from the public? Statistical reporting from the department has been haphazard at best. There was even one point last year where the number of deaths reported dropped, the first reported rising from the dead in over 2,000 years. To date, Pennsylvania Attorney General Josh Shapiro has remained on the sidelines, failing to provide the same degree of oversight exercised by his counterpart in New York. Former Auditor General Eugene DePasquale likewise failed in his watchdog role before he left office last month. Making matters worse, the Wolf-Fetterman administration has operated as the least transparent administration in state history. While exercising unprecedented emergency powers, the administration has worked hard to withhold information from the public, at times even defying a legislative subpoena and refusing to comply with rulings from the state's Office of Open Records. With the state's deployment of the COVID-19 vaccine mired in chaos and bureaucratic ineptitude, Governor Wolf has embarked on a campaign of deflection. In recent weeks, he has proposed a massive increase in taxes, advocated for the legalization of recreational marijuana, and touted a plan to raise the minimum wage. This, rather than keep the spotlight on what should be the number one goal of universal vaccination to end the pandemic. Nursing homes, which should be a vaccination priority, are again getting the short end of the stick. Quote, Pennsylvania has allocated less than 20% of its vaccine supply to long-term facilities, said Zach Schamberg, CEO and president of the Pennsylvania Healthcare Association. He called the situation both shocking and insulting. Checks and balances have been woefully absent from the entire state response to COVID-19. But given recent developments in New York, the spotlight should return to the tragedy which has unfolded in nursing homes here in Penns Woods. The Department of Health statistics must be audited to determine if we have been given accurate information. The outcome of such an investigation would either give us confidence in the numbers reported or reveal any attempt at a cover-up. Further, Tom Wolf, along with Andrew Cuomo and the governors in other states, whose policies of sending COVID-19 patients back into nursing homes must be held accountable for their actions. It is clear the death toll from these policies is staggering. There were warnings and red flags along the way, making these governors culpable and perhaps even criminally negligent. It is time for those tasked with oversight to step up and do their job. With a Town Hall commentary, I'm Loman Henry. If you miss hearing Lincoln Radio Journal on your favorite radio station, audio of our complete program is available on our websites, LincolnRadioJournal.com and LincolnInstitute.org. For 26 years, Lincoln Radio Journal has been heard on public affairs-minded radio stations throughout the Commonwealth, including WBXQ-FM, WKMC-AM, and WBRX-FM in Altoona, Pennsylvania. The Lincoln Radio Journal is produced weekly by the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. The Lincoln Institute is completely funded through the generosity of individuals, corporations, and philanthropic foundations, including the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association, the Allegheny Foundation of Pittsburgh, and the Houston Foundation of Coatesville, all of whom have helped to underwrite the cost of this program. Lincoln Radio Journal is a trademark of the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. Comments and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Lincoln Institute or of this radio station. From the Lincoln Broadcast Center in Harrisburg, I'm Loman Henry. Thank you for listening to Pennsylvania's most widely broadcast public affairs radio program, Lincoln Radio Journal. Plug into the pulse of Pennsylvania. Thank you.